Welcome back to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd, Thomas Drantz. We are live from the Kintec studio. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. Final segment of the show here on a Wednesday. It's a Canucks game day. We did the crossover earlier, so right now let's go to the whiteboard.
All right now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, April 2nd. And we'll start with the headlines. Canucks host the Kraken. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But, I mean, we haven't even really had a chance to check in on the out-of-town scoreboard last night. Spoiler alert, St. Louis wins again. Their 10th in a row, despite being down in the final minute of that game against the Red Wings.
So, Jim Montgomery, credit to him, because they pulled the goalie with 3 minutes to go, 3 minutes and 13 seconds. So it was a long enough empty net sequence that they had full line changes going. Mm-hmm. Like, they'd literally have a defender come back with the puck.
Often, to facilitate the change.
Fowler, yeah. And they'd change, and then they'd rush the puck back up. They didn't force anything. Like, it was this patient, a six-on-five sequence, as you'll see. There was just, like, they were looking for possession. They were applying pressure. They were taking point shots. They were winning battles so that the Detroit Red Wings couldn't sort of fire at their empty net.
Mm-hmm.
They were so patient. Finally, they try to connect on a passing play, get a bit of a bounce and win and tie it. And then Cam Fowler wins it in overtime. Really impressive, mature sequence from that Blues team. Like, there's something about this club right now that's wildly. It's just going their way, man. Like, it's just going their way. And then it wasn't just that. It was, you know, so the Blues win, the Flames lose, but even little stuff swung against the Canucks on the out-of-town scoreboard last night, like, at the margins. So, like, Vegas loses in regulation to the Edmonton Oilers, and the Kings win. Right? Now, why does that matter? Vancouver has two games left against the Vegas Golden Knights, who are, what, 6 points up on the Kings?
Yes. Well, five now.
Five now. My point being, like, that game 82 against the Vegas Golden Knights, like, there's a chance that they're completely checked out.
Right.
But if the Kings are within range, you know, that
they still want to lock up the division.
That diminishes your chances of getting a you know, one or maybe two Vegas Golden Knights looking past you performances.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So even little stuff like that breaking against the Canucks on the out-of-town scoreboard. Utah Hockey Club, of course, moves to within a point of the Canucks.
You're back. You're back on Utah.
We are so back. The race for ninth.
That's what I was saying the whole time. They'd get ninth.
That they'd get ahead of the Canucks. Not that they'd...
It's completely pivot on your Utah take. Once again, I've been correct in my analysis.
Once again, undefeated.
Yeah. And of course, it is Seattle tonight. Seattle has been mathematically eliminated. I mean, we've known where their season has been headed for a while here. But as you were saying on the show yesterday, I mean, the Canucks have had trouble with them this year. They've lost a couple of times, including that one where they blew the big lead late. They beat them in Seattle as well, I believe. But still, it's not as if it's been a cakewalk for the Canucks against the Seattle Kraken. I know Rick Tocchet was speaking about some of the things they can do offensively that gives his team issues. So if you've been still holding out hope for the miracle comeback here, I'm sure you've been looking at this portion of the schedule. Kraken tonight, Ducks on the weekend, and saying, okay, there's two wins right there, but... Not so simple.
I mean, both teams can stress the Canucks out because they have speed up front. You know, like, no Pedersen in the lineup tonight. We know that now. Vancouver doesn't have a lot of speed at center. I mean, Nils Åman, like, matters for this team right now because he's their fastest skating center. Pew Suter, you know, God love him. Sharp as a tack. Not the fastest skater. Ted Bluger, not the fastest skater. Atu Ratu, not the fastest skater. Shane Wright can fly. Like, absolutely fly. And that's what powered them past the Canucks in the previous meeting. Now, you know, and that was with Filipino in the lineup. That was with Pedersen in the lineup. That, to me, is where this game will pivot. How can the Canucks answer Seattle's speed edge down the center of their forward group? Because that's a significant advantage for the Kraken in it.
All right, before we move on with the rest of the whiteboard for today, we'll do the playoff odds, lineup notes, all of that. But first, as part of the headlines here, we haven't had a chance to do it yet. So let's hear from Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet.
Rick, yesterday you talked about focusing on Seattle. So what do you expect to see from them tonight?
Well, actually, they've been one of the better offensive teams statistically and analytically. So these guys can score. So play without the puck's big for us, and then counterattacking is something that we got to do really well tonight.
Dakota mentioned just wanting to see that must-win mentality from their group. Is that exactly what you want to see?
Yeah, play on your toes. You know, I think that's really what it comes down to in these type of games. You know, anticipate, play on your toes, you know, blocking shots. You know, these little things like that really matter in these type of games. They always matter, but especially tonight.
Rick, do you want to put a number on how many of these eight you need? Dakota said all eight. How many do you think you realistically need?
Yeah, I don't play that game. I mean, you got to win this game tonight. I mean, you have to think that way. You know, you got to win. You win tonight, then you worry about, you know, that sort of, you can't really scoreboard watch. You know, if you scoreboard watch, you can get dejected, right? So I don't really, you know, sure, I watch the games, but I just worry about winning this game, getting 2 points for a team.
We've seen what St. Louis has done, won 10 in a row. You guys really haven't had a really sustained winning streak. Perfect time to do it now.
Yeah, look at St. Louis, confidence, scoring with 20 seconds left. They've done it a few times. It's a confident team. It seems like 1 through 23 are confident in their lineup, and that's what you strive for. You know, everybody have play with confidence, and you win one and you go from there.
Demko starts?
Yeah, Demmer's in that, yeah.
Any other lineup change?
No, pretty well the same lineup. We were deciding between Mance and Junior, but I think Junior's come in and I think sometimes you have to make a decision, but it doesn't mean Mance won't play in the back-to-back coming up. So, but tonight we'll go with Junior.
Rick, you name-checked Dakota yesterday as a guy that's sort of bringing it right now. It's been such a struggle for him all year with his situation.
Yeah.
Do you think it's, like, is he just getting to his game now after all he's been through, or did you have to challenge him at some point here?
Well, there's a bit of a challenge. I mean, I think he knows he's got to get going here. I think all year he's just been a second. His reads and his seem a little slow reads-wise. And I think I'd like to see him, if he anticipates, you know, this summer, I told him, don't worry about the offseason, getting yourself ready for the next year. There's still time for him to do certain things. I think for him, anticipation, like he's just 1 second slow everywhere, where last year he was on top of his game. So can we find that second tonight? I think this road trip, there's some games there I felt he was a little quicker in his decisions, and that's what we're trying to get him to do.
And what about that line that you got him on right now? I mean, guys that they can be a handful physically and look like they brought him on a lot of nights on the trip.
Yeah, that was a positive, on this road trip, that was a positive line for us, if you look at it. And I think Rats is starting to, he's a young kid, a couple of games early, I made some mistakes. But I'm not seeing those mistakes as much now, and this is like after the fourth, fifth game. And I think having those two wingers have really helped them. And, I've been playing that line and taking draws on our own end, some minutes where we really need them to go against maybe a top line. That's a big thing for me if I can have that line play against top lines.
We get fixated on goals at the start of the year. You said Carlson was close to making the team, a sticky guy, you call him, getting in on the forecheck and pinning guys. Where's his game at?
Yeah, I think he's added that like that sticky guy, gets the net, can win a board battle. I mean, this time of year, those guys are important. Now we're looking for consistency. You know, it's hard to do, every night. So that's what he's trying to find. It's like our team. We're chasing consistency.
Is his stride better? Is he stronger on pucks?
Yeah, I think I think he's a lot stronger on pucks. I think there's another level of being stronger. Which he'll get to mature, but I think that, like I said, his consistency level is getting better and better.
Was his goal in Nashville part and parcel, getting to the blue paint, takes the cross ice from Izzy and finishes? Was that kind of what you're looking for?
That or I think the power play goal, the game against
Columbus.
Yeah, it's like we had a lot. So the Columbus game, I think that's a element of his game. Okay. Getting body position, anticipate if the puck goes here and I get body position of the guy, I'll probably get some kind of good look at the net. To me, he it's a big thing to me. Like he read it 2 seconds before, and then I think somebody cross checked him. He still scored the goal. So those are big goals.
He said every night's a playoff game for a guy who's up here to get a good look and kind of quasi another audition. What do you expect from him down the stretch and then going into next year?
Same thing, you know, like same thing with these young guys, and even older guys. I don't care who you are, but especially the young guys, is like these games are important. You know, everybody's watching how you're playing these games and the desperation. I have no problem with the young guys that have come up and they're playing now. They have played, they have worked hard. You know, obviously they're going to make mistakes. We get that, but they have worked hard. Their work ethic is something that I cannot complain about.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet speaking to the media before his team plays the Kraken tonight. And I think you can get a sense of just how difficult these games are for an NHL team, right? To really find the stakes in these games. And Rick Tocchet not saying that. And he's saying just the opposite. You know, hey, we got to treat all of these like game sevens. Can't get caught up in scoreboard watching because you'll get dejected. I guess that's especially true this year when St. Louis wins every night. That will get you pretty dejected pretty quickly. But, you know, you also hear him kind of implicitly acknowledging, like on Dakota Joshua, hey, use these games to find some of that, get some of that timing back that you've been missing this year. You know, guys like Atu Ratu, prove that you can do some certain things in your own end, take big faceoffs, go up against top lines. Young players in general, hey, lots of people are watching around the league. So very much, you know, Rick Tocchet, I think, like a lot of fans are, to be honest, caught in that moment of, well, there's still a chance and you want to see that effort. But inevitably, even as the head coach, your mind starts to wander to what does this mean for the summer? What does this mean for my plans if I am back, coming back into training camp next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that's going to depend on what else occurs, obviously, without question. But I think what, for me, man, what it comes down to, too, is I do think we're seeing something different from this group than we saw earlier in the year. And I thought this road trip was an impressive distillation of it.
Yeah.
And I think the way that the young players, well, the way that Elias Pettersson, the way that Victor Mancini, the way that Jonathan Lekaramäki, albeit in limited minutes, and certainly and especially Atu Ratu, because I actually think this has been something of a breakout for Atu Ratu. Not because the sample is big enough for us to take it to the bank.
Sure, you're not like extrapolating certain production for next year or anything like that.
No, especially because he's run hot. It's less about the production and more about he's started more times in the defensive zone than any other Canucks forward. The club is still outshooting the opposition despite that usage. And after one game, I was like, man, they're going to have to play him more than Blueger, because Teddy Blueger, aside from that goal against the Islanders, right, has been outscored 1-5 since Pettersson got hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not, you can't play him in the top six. I don't know what else to say. Not that a lot of people are disagreeing with me. But he's actually flipped those minutes. Like, he played more than Pugh Suter against the Winnipeg Jets. Like, he's earning trust at a really rapid rate. And I think when you combine that with just the overall trajectory that he hit this season, like, this is sometimes, we talk about this sometimes, right? Like, player improvement isn't always linear, but once it starts to, like, it can be exponential. You can go on an exponential curve. He feels like a player that's on that sort of curve. So, I mean, I think that trust, and if those players can play in a way that is conducive to this club shedding the skin of, you know, sneering joylessness that's so defined this season, I mean, I think they can all significantly boost their stock and their chances of breaking camp with this team, you know, come I guess, October 2025.
And on Ratu specifically, I look at the group of relatively young players who have split time, young forwards who have split time between Abbotsford and the NHL this year. So that's Ratu, Baines, Carlson, Amon, Lekaramäki, Max Sasson. That's six forwards. I think Ratu, you could say, now Lekaramäki is a special case because of his draft pedigree and the offensive upside, the goal scoring that he did at Abbotsford, but we're also seeing the very limited minutes deployment from Rick Tocchet and his staff right now. So certainly, you know, maybe take Lekaramäki out, but Ratu versus the other players, like, you could say this stretch of games is the closest any of those players have come to really nailing down a role on the team, like a position where it's not just you're coming up to plug a hole for us, but we are using you in a very specific way to help us win games. And again, what does that translate to in terms of his upside or his production? Or, you know, no one's locking him into a roster spot going in to next season. But as you heard Tocchet say there, like, hey, that's a big deal. If I can trust you to take draws in our own end and go up against top six lines for other team, that's a really, really big deal. And that to me is a separating factor that he has over, you know, the Baines, the Omans, the Max Sasson kind of class of guys that we've also seen. Even Linus Karlsson, although we know Rick Tocchet likes Linus Karlsson, but Ratu has started to create an advantage, create a reason, a hook kind of to have him on the team for next year, which is a big deal for a player, you know, still, what, 21? I think he's 22, excuse me, turned 22 in November, so he'll still be 22 at the start of next season. So still some upside there of Atu Ratu. Good to see him get an opportunity to do his thing at the NHL level so far this year. Broadsheet, not a lot to get into. Not really. I mean, Frank Saravalli was on the morning show of Halford and Brough and really just reiterating on Rick Tocchet that it's a beyond dollars and cents thing. And that, you know, Frank has reported that multiple times. We're hearing that over and over. Even from Rick, we're hearing that. From Tocchet himself, we're hearing that. So I think we should all be kind of clear about that now. And it just remains to be seen, when do those conversations start to happen? Is it when the team is mathematically eliminated? Is it after the regular season? Is there a cooling down period after the regular season? So when do they start? And what's the substance of those conversations going to be? We probably won't get a direct answer, but you got to think that those conversations about, hey, what's the direction? What are we doing here? Are going to have at least some influence on how the Canucks proceed and go about their business for the rest of the summer. Lineup notes, Nils Höglander again skates in a red non-contact jersey at the optional morning skate today. So not an option for tonight, but given what Tocchet was saying, Drance, about, you know, hey, Nils Höglander really, really wants to play non-contact jersey for two consecutive days now. They've got a couple of days off before their next game against the Ducks on Saturday. Feels pretty likely that we will see Nils Höglander play at the very least on this weekend, whether it's Saturday against the Ducks or Sunday against Vegas.
Yeah, and they need him.
Do they.
They don't have enough good forwards.
Well, speaking about other guys who, you know, end the season on a positive, right? Like Dakota Joshua, yeah, if you could end the season on a positive, that would be really big. Now, Höglander had turned his game around, so it's a little bit different, but then it's interrupted by injury. You would love to get some of that momentum back that you had started to build in the final 10 days or so of the season whenever he's able to come back. Like, this guy's making $3 million next year. His extension kicks in next year. He was expected to play a pretty significant role on the team. You'd love to see him start to, again, cement that momentum that he had before his injury.
Yeah, and obviously then we get to Demko.
Yeah, Demko, right? to start tonight.
I mean, Demko to start tonight, and also, man, who would it matter more for in terms of just like finishing the season strong and finishing the season available?
Yeah, playing like six of the final eight and doing really well for Thatcher Demko.
Would be huge for him personally and for the Canucks.
And of course, that leads into he's extension eligible on July 1st. I think there would be a lot of seasons where that would be the number one thing we would be focusing on. A player of Demko's status being extension eligible on July 1st.
Although, like, how do you price? You can't price in this level of injury risk.
I get it. Yeah. I
think that's why. I don't think it's about this season. I think it's
about all the other stuff happening, too.
I just think it's the injury risk. Like, you know, we all know that Demko healthy is a $7, $8 million goaltender. I don't think there's a lot of, like, question marks about that. At least, right.
No, if Demko played 60 games this year,
and
what's the starting price for the extension? Like $9 million.
Yeah, probably.
You know?
Maybe higher.
Yeah.
So there's no question, but are you going to commit to a long-term deal given how this season unfolded with him, right? Like, no. No. So, like, this one's just going to take more time. We'll have plenty of time to unpack it all offseason.
Yeah, but Thatcher Demko will get the start tonight for the Canucks against the Kraken. Playoff standings update. So as mentioned, Blues win earlier. The results in the standings is the Blues 8 points up on the Canucks. The Canucks have 2 games in hand, but they're at 89 points with 6 games remaining on their schedule. Minnesota idle last night, so they remain 7 points up on the Canucks. Canucks have a game in hand. Calgary loses, so they're at 82 points. Points, having played 74 games, so just a hair ahead of the Vancouver Canucks. Although would they still be tied in points percentage? I don't know, but they could probably jump over them with a win tonight.
Flames?
Yeah. If the Canucks won tonight, they'd be at 83 and 75, which is probably, again, back to a dead heat points percentage.
Yeah.
But the Canucks would have the regulation win tiebreaker if it's a regulation, if it's a regulation win. So there you go.
I mean, yeah.
The race for ninth is heating up. That's the most interesting part of this Western Conference playoff race, is the race for ninth. The race to be the best, the team with the best record outside of the playoffs.
The play-in team?
The
play-in race would be hot.
The play-in team would be electric.
But I think the way to think about this, too, you know, we talk about the parlay that needs to hit, right? So you need one of St. Louis and Minnesota to sag badly, right? And then you need to win everything, and then you need... Let's be real. At this point, both Utah and Calgary to not out-compete you down the stretch. One negative for this is, like, Vancouver has that head-to-head remaining against Minnesota, but so does Calgary.
Yeah.
So someone needs to get points.
Yes, from that, that's sort a good of point. Yeah.
Further complicating the Canucks' path. Like, I saw Rob Williams and Noah Strang did, like, sort of the how the Canucks can pass the Wild slash fiction. Take over it over at Daily Hive, which is super fun to read, and good work by those gentlemen. But they didn't account for that. You know what I mean? It's just like they need to lose, and they need to make sure that the Flames don't outcompete them. But it's like, well, it's hard for Minnesota to lose enough and for you to then gift the Flames the 2 points the Canucks need. That makes the gulf even bigger than their 3 points back of the Flames from a starting stop, right?
Yeah, so in the eyes
or
of...
Or standing start.
I was just moving on. Yeah, I didn't even hear what you said.
It was gobbledygook.
I'm sure it was great.
And it wasn't.
In the eyes of Dom's model, so as a result of the Blues' win last night, Canucks' playoff odds fall from 12 to 10%. Calgary, their odds cut in half from 22 to 11. They were alive, but they might be cooked now. It's just such an uphill battle.
Realistically, we know who the 8 playoff teams in the West are.
Yeah, St. Louis up from 76 to 87. Minnesota basically holds steady at 91.
And a miracle could interfere with that, but it's going to take a miracle, and you know we don't have to give it more credence than that. Gambling odds, Canucks, -161 home favorites. Kraken, +135. In terms of other relevant races, though, the Minnesota Wild are road underdogs against the miserable New York Rangers. They're +130, Rangers -155. Gabe Perreault making his debut for the Rangers. Will that help them get more than 10 shots in 30 minutes to start
that
the
line
game?
Surprised me a little bit, too.
Huh?
That line surprised me a little bit. Like, I guess it's just not fully priced in how bad the Rangers are yet, because they're still kind of hanging around.
No, the Rangers, people, I mean, you people just don't understand.
Anyone who's watched them recently has been horrified.
Yeah, legitimately
horrified.
To save their lives. Maybe Gabe Perreault gives them a little bit of a
shave.
Anyway, also playoff futures. Canucks have now hit 10-1 to make the playoffs.
There you go.
So we're there. +1,000.
It's happened. Only 8 more games remaining.
That sucks.
As you said, stave off the death march.
Yeah.
But isn't it the death march?
Well, it's the death march if you lose tonight.
I guess it's all in your mind. It's all in the mind.
Well, that's
whether or not you're in the death march.
And that's the thing. You at least get to live in a world where this could have a happy ending, provided you win tonight.
All right. That does it for today. Canucks play the Kraken at 7 tonight. You can hear the call, of course, here on the station. And we'll be back tomorrow to break it down on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650.